Hello, you are listening to OCR Audio. This is Jack. So today's podcast, Luke had the pleasure of talking to Scotty PT from the PT Born. Yes, he's a Born. PT Barn ahead of this weekend's short course UK OSF Southern Finals. So we had Gavin from the Northern Finals on. That went pretty well. So we decided that we'd have Scotty on and we would chat everything from the course to potential people that could win it. And it's definitely looking like it's going to be a very difficult one to call. I personally will be on course racing as well as media for OCR Audio. So if you head over to our OCR Audio channel Instagram account, you will be able to watch. I'm going to try and get as much live feed as I possibly can of the course from the juniors and the seniors, men and women, Saturday and Sunday. So keep tuned in Saturday and Sunday for live action from the course at the PT Barn. But for now, here's Luke talking to Scotty about that very event. Enjoy.
Perfect. So welcome to the OCR Audio podcast. We're joined today by Scott, owner of the PT Barn. Scott, how are we doing?
Yeah, good. Not too bad.
Excellent. So down at the PT Barn in basically a week today, we're going to be kicking off the UK OSF time trial Southern Finals. How's it looking?
Course is looking really good. Had a good tidy up, had a good clean up. And then the build starts on Monday. So pretty much ready to go, just scrape it all back, and then last thing to do is just take all the old stuff down and start putting all the new stuff up.
Perfect. So the finals are spread over 2 days, a Saturday and a Sunday. Is it the juniors on the Saturday and then the senior race on the Sunday?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it made sense, especially when we started to limit the numbers. Made a lot more sense, you know, just to split them up if we could. Fortunately, numbers aren't that high on the for the juniors, but it still made sense. Yeah, if we could just split them up a little bit. The other thing we was worried about is originally they were meant to go off in the morning, and as you know, it's been getting colder, a bit more frost on the bars and bits and pieces. Not quite frost. So we thought with the juniors, having them in the afternoon, keep them warm. a bit better.
No, that's good. I think they will appreciate it, Scott. I think they'll appreciate it, man.
Hopefully.
So looking at the Sunday, in the male division of kind of like the senior division, where you've got big athletes, kind of like Tom Tweddle, you've got Jesse Betts, Dean Cheatham, you've got Barry Buchanan. There's some standout guys that have been on the podiums of Spartan races and loads of other races in and around the UK and also international podiums here. So how are you looking at the men's field? I know it might be not biased of you to say anybody, but it's a big field to have coming down.
Yeah, to be honest, it is. It's absolutely insane. When I looked at it, and I've looked at it a few times, just looking up and down, up and down, just trying to work out who's going to win. I reckon there's a good 20 people that could be in the top five. Definitely. I think if it works for them, if it goes well for them, and as we're saying, the Ninja Warrior guys as well, how would they get on with the longer course? Not overly technical, the course itself, but, you know, is there advantages they're going to see that others aren't going to see? Yeah, I think it'll be interesting.
Is there a lot of running in it? I know you may not be able to say, but...
No, I could say no to this. I mean, what I tried to do is especially I was going to run some I've run some training sessions for the race, obviously not using the obstacles, but I did put out some information on the UK OSF page, just talking about the style of the course. So I think that's really important, especially where this is one of the only things people got to train for. And in that short 3 week window after the finals, after the time trials had finished, just giving people a little bit of focus. So the course is very stop start. It's not overly technical. I mean, there is, you know, there's lots of short technical obstacles, but you're certainly not going to have things like hanging nunchucks and bits and pieces. We've tried to make it a course that's very completable by you know, male, female, masters, juniors, and really, yeah, just try to create something that works in all weathers as well. Obviously harder in the rain.
Of course.
Lots of switchbacks. So obviously they put a course map out. There's a lot of switchbacks on the course. So there's not many places to really get into your momentum. Like we're running, there'll be a lot of stop start. What we tried to do was work towards the FISO sort of world championships, like world OCR.
Yeah.
And really try to work on a well balanced course. So expect, you know, agility, balance, strength, endurance, like, you know, fitness, a little bit of everything, but a technical, a little bit of everything. So I'm hoping it really works. Like, and people can see that as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And yeah, people can see that map on the UKOSF Instagram and over in the group. But yeah, talking about seniors, but also looking at the masters division, there is some standout masters athletes, some that have been on European podiums, obviously world podiums. That's a hard one to pick. Maybe not as not as deep as the seniors, but still a stacked field.
But again, yeah, I mean, it really is, as you say, that like Rob Border, Dean Johnson, Tony Leary, they've all just I've got a list in front of me, but those guys have all sort of podiums at the Dixon. You know, they've all podiums at the at international events. You've got people like Nigel, Ninja Nigel as well, who's going to bring a different skill set. You know, this really is, as you say, some like incredible athletes.
No, it's good. It's good to see. Good to see a lot of people signing up and getting down for it. I know people made a lot of effort to get round to the different qualifiers, and the information was fed out across time. And as you say, this might be one of the only things to actually take part in at this point of the year. So it's really good.
I'm really hoping that one of the other things that we've aimed for is trying to keep the quality of the competition higher. You know, it's still not going to have that event feel to it. But I really feel like, especially with the rules, the video that will be going out, like the race sort of briefing and the race, like we'll get James running the course as well. Yeah, hopefully it'll really feel like that. And I think from an adjudication point of view, it will feel, I think it'll feel like a very fair race as well.
Yeah, that's good. Do you think, obviously, because it's just there's not much else going on but the race. So there isn't vendors, there isn't spectators, there's not multiple waves. Do you think having a bit of a smaller event, but it will aid to the quality of it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's going to make it a job a lot easier. It's a shame though, because it has got potential, especially where it is down at the field. You know, it's big and open. It, for spectators, it would have been incredible. It would have been quite exciting. It would have been very exciting. And like, it's going to make our job a lot easier. We've actually changed the way we're doing marshalling. Originally, we were going to have zonal marshals. And there were sort of nine zones throughout the field. And what would happen is that athlete would go through that zone and that marshal would see him through their zone. And then they would take him on to the next obstacle. Onto the next zone, and then the next zone marshal would pick him up and take him through. And then what was also going to have was an athlete marshal that would follow that athlete around the course. So there was absolutely, you know, just bulletproof marshalling. Now we're going with just the athlete marshal. All that means is the athlete marshal's just got to work a bit harder because they'll be
got to get some running in.
They're going to be shifting. They're going to put some hours in. Definitely get some mileage.
good. So yeah, we're not missing out the females at all. Also, there is a quite a deep female field. Again, what's that looking like for the seniors for you? Do you think there's a multiple chance of different winners? I think we've got maybe Becky Rendell's going to be going. I don't know if Jade Skillen qualified, but there's quite a deep field. Yeah, Jade's in. So that's a deep field again from the female side, which is good to see. and obviously the female masters as well. How many of those do you think you've got? Is there a fair few or a little bit less?
I'll tell you, Trevor, I haven't got the list in front of me, but no, the masters are obviously a little bit less. The females, we didn't quite hit the numbers. I have to check with James because I know he's obviously
James
got the sign up again with that side of it. But the standard for the females is unbelievable. And really, really good to see, actually, how strong. Not just because obviously this will be obstacle heavy. It will, you know, you're not going to get away with just being good at the running side of it. And it's brought out a few new female athletes, which has been really good. A few sort of unknown sort of names that have popped up into qualifying, actually getting, you know, podium at the time trials up and down the country. But again, I think there's maybe just under 10 where I'm looking at thinking any one of those can win it. And for very different reasons as well. You know, you've got some of the sort of Spartan females that are just very strong, very fast, very quick on and off the obstacles. And then you've got some more sort of ninja sort of specialists and technical specialists coming into it who can also shift. So I really do think that's going to be a great competition.
Nice. Yeah, I do. I really think you're going to see a different range. You're going to see a different skill set brought by, especially you've got ninjas, you've got more Spartan specific, you've got more OCR, classic OCR specific ones. Yeah, so no, that's really good. And on the day, obviously, is it... people are going to come at their certain point and then they're going to have to leave, or are they going to be able to stick around and watch other athletes race or scout out beforehand?
Yeah, unfortunately, it is all sort of locked down a little bit more. What we've had to do is we've put the restrictions in place, one to make it bulletproof, and just, you know, if things do change, if something happened this next week, we're ahead, you know. Unless things get completely locked down, then obviously we can't. But yeah, we just try to keep ahead of the game with things, the way things are moving, the way things are shifting. We'd rather have something in place, you know, that will work. And the next thing is no competition, rather than something which would work with around that 100 people mark, and then it's oh, what we're going to do now. So that's why we've done it. Obviously, James worked really hard putting that in place. So basically, they turn up. They've all got entry time to when they can come into the car park. It's really, really important that they stick to that time, because even if they're sort of 10 minutes early, they will be turned away because we are limiting how many people will be on there. So they'll have to just park up the road and then pop down. And obviously, that can hold up other people that are coming down for the right time. And obviously everyone should be 5 minute splits anyway, because they go off in 5 minute waves in the race. So there shouldn't be a problem. There's not going to be any problems with queues. There's only 12, there's 18 marshals, you know, people filming, you guys like filming and photographer and first aid. There's only 18 of those and 12 athletes that are going to be on the site at any one time. The idea it really is low numbers. Those 12 athletes will all be down for 1 hour. So they'll get the entry time, and their start time is 30 minutes after their entry time. They'll come into the car park, and then they can walk around the course in that half an hour. So the idea is really they want to be mostly warmed up before they get there. You know, mobilized, come in, walk the course. You know, sort of 10-15 minutes watching other people get over to the start line and start warming up by the start line with sort of 10-15 minutes, 10 minutes to ready to go, and then they're off. Trying to get a warm-up station set up as well, which would be quite nice, with some sort of TRX and some bands and a frame where people can do a real good quality warm-up. But what we are recommending is there's a country park just over the bridge. It's literally 45-second drive across the bridge from where we are. I'm advising that people just park up there, big massive car park, big country park, warm up and get themselves ready there, and then literally jump in the car, 45 minutes, or even just walk around the corner and then join in. So that'd be the ideal world.
Well, that sounds really good. Sounds like you've got it really planned out. And yeah, sticking to those kind of low numbers gives you that kind of ability to be on the swivel. If anything does change, you can still have the event going. So
exactly, yeah.
Yeah, kind of a thought of every eventuality, which is good.
Exactly. And the thing is, if it's less than 30, there's no race. You know, if rules go into place, it's less. So at least we're at that bottom level now. And it's not great. We are looking to have a number of live feeds. So obviously you guys will be doing one. Is that right?
Yep. OCR Audio will be on site putting some live feeds up for our Instagram channel. So tune in. Check out some of the runners. There'll obviously be some extremely fast runs from people, so make sure you keep an eye on the feed. And obviously Scott's going to have some other people. Who else is down there, Scott?
So I'm pretty sure, I say this is James's department, but I'm pretty sure it's Fabian that's down there. And I've also asked my other half, Karen, to come down and do some bits and pieces with the live feeds, which would be quite handy. Obviously, it's going to be filmed as well. We've got Mark Turner filming it, and we've got Donna from Obstacle Mud Runner magazine doing the photography as well. I think it'll be, and what we're trying to do is get all the results up live so people can see the results. What we'd like to do, if possible, is people do park up round the corner or locally and they keep track of the results. And if they do podium, come back, jump on the podium, get a photograph, get their medals, and then off they go again. So it would be nice if people can hang about. Obviously, I think the male competition's only on for maybe 2.5 hours, something around that, maybe 3 hours. So it would only be a case of maximum hanging around for a couple of hours and then just coming back, keeping track of the results and, coming to collect their trophies.
No, I'm sure if there's a chance of anybody jumping on the podium, they will stick around for a bit to keep an eye on those results and also watch the live feeds. So Fabian's Mud and Glory, where's your feeds going to be on your Instagram channel, is it, Scott?
I don't know if it's going to go through the Instagram or if we're going to go through the PT Barn or if she'll do it for UKSF. I'm not sure who we're going to do that, but we'll get that. Yeah, we'll let people know. We'll put it out on the UKSF. We'll put all the different links up.
Lovely. So back to the course. Any surprises on the course, or is it just kind of what you've put out on that post on UKSF, or is there something you've kept secret?
No, not really. Yeah, it's not too really. Although, to be honest, I put a post up saying, look, the obstacle list is up on the UKSF. I put it onto our Road to Worlds group, and they also obviously I don't get involved with telling them yes or no. And I said, right, discuss. And you know, there's quite a lot of them. Bear in mind, these are guys that are trained down there. You know, 10-15 times, a lot of them, maybe more. No idea. so that's quite nice. So how the course is set out, a lot of people have done training days down here and race simulation stuff. We tend to keep it, especially for training days, quite simple with loops around the outside. Because all the obstacles on the outside of the field, and you just do that obstacle, move on to next and move on to the next. So the order has thrown a lot of people out. During the training sessions, I've really tried to focus on using the frames differently to how they're used to using them. Just not as flowing, a little bit gnarly, a bit more, you know, you've got to get stuck into the obstacles. And it's thrown a lot of them out, very different to the clean racing they were expecting. And what was quite interesting, so the other night I said we used 8 obstacles on this obstacle loop. I said, I didn't tell them obviously which one, but I said, there's only one of these obstacles that will be used. And they couldn't believe it. They're like, how can you only be using one of these obstacles? And when they actually find out what obstacle it is, it's one of the most basic that you'd have at any training facility, identical each time. So I think what we've done is we had a really good use of the course. I had a a plan together that I wanted to use with James. And we went down there and he thought, and I could tell he just was like, you know, he was just looking at me, just maybe we could do a bit more. And I said, right, well, let's change the whole lot. And we'd already walked around. We spent 6 hours, I think it was, walking the course, just going through the lot. And it is, there's lots of switchbacks. A lot of the frames are being used differently to how people have used them down there before. The good thing is, because we've got big, strong frames, they stay up and you just change the stuff that's on them. So a lot of the stuff will be stripped down and put in new attachments, new bits and pieces on the frames. And like I say, the frames are being used very differently to normal. So, yeah, I'm hoping it'll be a surprise, especially for those that come down here. One of the other things it didn't want was too many home advantages. Obviously, you're always going to get home advantages. People are going to feel at home on the – even things like rope climbs. You know, you know that when you're doing a rope climb, okay, yeah, I'll stand over this side rather than this side. This is quicker getting from here to here. There's always going to be small advantages, but I really do think – and I think when people get down there, they'll see that a lot of it has been changed. Things like rope climbs and monkey bars and, I don't know, maybe some walls and bits like those sort of stuff, you know, are pretty standardized. You're not really, a rope climb's a rope climb, monkey bar's a monkey bar. There's not really an awful lot sort of changing, but then the other bits, yeah, they're quite different. So, yeah, I'm hoping there is.
I think if you've not gone, if you've not gone too exotic with the course and it is just a nice solid course, I think that's going to aid some really fast times and maybe a bit of switching and changing in podium places, because if people can really lay down a good time, then I'm sure a lot of people in that group can lay down a similar-ish time within a few seconds or within 30 seconds. So
I think it's just going to be people's ability to get on and off the obstacles quick. I think the actual obstacle speed will be pretty similar. Like, all the obstacles are short and sharp, and I think one of the things, when I think time trial, I don't think less who can hang out there the longest, less who can do the hardest rigs, less who could, you know, I think it's all about short and sharp and exciting. I think that when we walk around the course today, the only downside is I don't think there's many opportunities for the ninja-y type people to really show off like advanced skill sets. I'd say that, but then it is OCR, so I'm not like too concerned.
No, I think that's good. I think it sounds like you've covered a lot of different bases. I think it's going to be a really exciting weekend for the juniors on the Saturday and also the older guys on the Sunday. So it's definitely a bit of must-see for people. Jump on Instagram or different feeds, have a little look at the races, and I'm sure there'll be highlights popping up afterwards. But no, thanks a lot, Scott, for hosting the event, first of all. Thanks for coming on the podcast and chatting about the course. It's been great to hear about it.
No, I appreciate it. No, thanks for your time. So I can't wait. Really, really excited. Especially, I'll say, we just had a meeting, so the final sort of meet up. So really, really looking forward to it.
Perfect. Well, we're all looking forward to it, and we'll be tuning in next weekend. And some people will obviously be coming to see you. So have a good one. And we'll look forward to it. Thanks,
nice
Scott.
One. Thank you very much. Have a good weekend.
So I'm to suspect then I'm going to get my balance, strength, and technical running twist backs and turns challenge then this weekend. So I'm going to look forward to it, as you should. So like I said earlier, join us on OCR Audio Instagram for the live feed, and I'll try and keep you entertained as best as possibly can. Let's pray for some British beautiful weather. Yeah, not happening. Okay, guys, see you next time. Bye.